Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and with us again today is Pastor Kurt.
Hey, good
you
to be back.
You always come in with the trumpet fanfare.
I do. I don't know why. It's not about me.
For yourself.
I just love to be back.
It's because you're so prideful.
Yes.
Everyone that looks at you would say he's so prideful.
I'm full of it, actually. You know, one of the things I do is I pride myself on my humility, Luke. That's what I try to do. Try to keep it humble, so I pride myself on my humility.
You are humble. You're humble, and you go where the Lord tells you to go.
Yeah,
that's good. You do what he has you do, and you say what he has you say. What are some things that you've been busy with?
Well, obviously working on my mouth noises. I do like to make noises with my mouth. I can also do the dolphin. So in addition to the trumpet, I like to do the dolphin. But other than that, I can beatbox. No, I mean, in all seriousness. Yeah,
man.
I work on it all. But I've been really excited about some things that have been transpiring, both at the church and the schools. And it's just been a lot of fun just watching teams develop. I keep coming back to what John says. You know, I think it's 3 John. I don't want to mess it up. It's 3 John 2 or whatever. I'll look it up. But I have no greater joy than to see
I think
and
that
to
is
know
3 John. Yeah.
That my children are walking in the truth. And I really feel like that if you find yourself in a teacher position as a teacher, I believe that that is the heartbeat of the teacher is you love to train, you love to develop, you're like a coach.
Yeah.
And then when others are thriving at their game, you're like, yes.
Yes.
So it's very fulfilling.
Yes, because as a teacher, you only share things because it's like, this works, so use it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then when it's so thrilling to see a student use it, you know, and how that brings life to them. And, you know, we don't just say things to say them. We don't just go to church to hear the thing.
That's
it's
exactly
so that
right.
We can bring it in, make it part of ourselves, and then live it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wrong with my reference because 3 John 2 is actually, beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health just as your soul does prosper.
I thought it was 3 John as well.
It's probably in there somewhere, but you know, no greater joy than to see it. But you're right. We share the things that we have seen be tried and true. You know, they
Amen.
Work. So, yep. So how about you? What have you been up to, sir?
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
So I, you know, school's going well. It's a lot of work. Work is work. And then I recently started dating, which is really cool.
You're saying that out loud?
I am saying it out loud.
I love it.
Yes.
So we, you know, it's 3 John 4, by the way, just 2 verses down. Sorry. 3 John 4, 3 John 4. So anyways, okay. Wow, Luke, I can't believe this. I'm even more excited about the show now. This is great. You know, when Luke had first come to Pastor Zach with this vision for The Breakdown, he's like, I really want to take some time, Pastor Zach, and break down your messages and help people understand them because that's the teacher in you.
Yes.
That's what you want to
Amen.
Do. And there's always a lot to chew on after a message on Sunday. But over the years, I'm getting somewhere. Over the years, when we've been on the show, we would often talk about single and loving it for you, you know?
Yeah.
And how faithful you were to that season. And how, I have to say, I know some single people, and I think you really... I love how you did singleness. There was a contentment that you found. And I think that, like, talk about being the teacher. So it's even awesome now to see how you're walking in this dating relationship.
Amen. Yeah. So you guys will get to see her. She's here on Sunday.
All right.
I won't say her name, but you can see her.
That's great. So Luke has gone from single and loving it to dating and loving it more.
I'm growing into it, you know?
Yeah,
It's cool, you know? And we're going to talk about, you know, different seasons in the message coming up.
Yeah.
But there is that, you know, that tendency to like, oh, wow, in the newness, it's new, right? It's uncharted.
Yeah.
So there is a sense of while you enjoy it and you love it, there is the safety of the known of the old season.
Okay. Wow, you're going right into the message, huh?
Yeah.
You're going right there.
Let's go.
Let's do it. It's awesome.
All right,
man.
You bring us in.
All right, so Pastor Zach had us in Amos. And like he said, Amos is one of those minor prophets that comes out with a really strong word. And I don't shy away from the strong words. And you know, as Pastor Zach was opening his message on Sunday, if you've done any type of Bible training, Bible schooling, they do teach on the New Testament prophet. As one, Paul says it like this, he'll bring comfort, exhortation, and edification. And so they say, hey, that is really the filter for New Testament prophecy, is it should be comfort, edification, and exhortation. And while there is a stern word and strong rebuke sometimes, to me, I actually don't think that that's outside of the New Testament prophetic word. I think exhortation can have a strong rebuke in it. I don't think that it's void of that.
I think of it as course correction.
Yes. Right? Yeah. But because of the Holy Spirit, you know, and Pastor Zach was kind of making the distinction before he even got into the message, making the distinction between the New Testament prophecy gift mm-hmm. and the office of the prophet. Mm. And we do a lot of talk and study on that here at our church because we are a church who operates with those five gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And so it is really cool to see how that takes shape in our leadership structure. But I just loved it because for me, I'm not afraid to go back. I don't know if you are. Like some people, they hear about the prophet coming to town and they get scared or they avoid.
It's like, I must go.
Yeah. I need to know. But going back to these Old Testament prophecies, it's like, oh man, God is tough.
Yeah.
But you have to understand the context. And then really what I love about being here, you know, some people will joke with Pastor Zach about how he is in the Old Testament a lot. But I have yet to meet a man and a preacher who can exegete that much from the old covenant and bring it and make it clear for today. It's really a gift that he has to bring even the Christ focus out of these Old Testament passages.
Amen.
So seeing this here, sorry, Luke, it's been a while since I've been on the show. Yeah. But
We're here for you.
Oh no,
yeah.
It's gonna be a good show, right, Luke? That's awesome. I think that's why we had to put you in the driver's seat for a while, Luke, because I was just taking too much control, man. Oh, that's awesome. So here we are, Amos 5:5, right? And you know, you provided us some great notes for today. But one of the things that was really telling to me is you and I were sitting there, maybe the teacher inside of us, and we don't even sit together, but you just told me before the show started. As Pastor Zach is reading through mm-hmm. these verses, we both know, okay, we're going to make a stop here. There's a pit stop at Bethel.
Yes.
There's a pit stop at Gilgal. And there's a pit stop at Beersheba. So we might as well strap in, you know? And it was really cool. I loved it. I was like, okay, don't seek the house of God as the focus. So just pause in there and you can take us into whatever's on your heart.
Yeah, because so Pastor Zach said, you know, when the house of God becomes the source of blessing, it also becomes the center of idolatry. And he talked about, you know, Bethel and how Bethel was a place of blessing. And I think it's so easy for us. And again, this is I think it's easy for when we're thinking through this discussion, think about what Paul talks about, like our spirit and our flesh, right? So it's when we're falling into our flesh that I think we start getting these things wrong.
Yeah.
So my flesh likes to feel good. Mm-hmm. And there's something in me that wants to feel good and receive the blessings of the Lord.
Yeah.
But when I start to focus on the blessing or the gift and not the gift giver or the purpose for why I received the blessing, then it's like you just become this fanatic that just wants more blessing, more blessing, more blessing, more blessing.
Yeah.
And going to church is I'm coming for me so I can get my miracle, so I can, like, it's like you almost come in with an order, like, okay, these are the things that are wrong in my life.
Yeah.
I need to go to church to have this fixed. And it's not that God doesn't want to work in those things. He does.
Right, right.
But you've slipped into this mindset of, okay, it's just about getting my problems fixed and not encountering the God who has all things in control.
Yeah. Well, even with that, the point of idolatry with Bethel, you know, even when Jesus says, you know, they're leaving the temple and Jesus is with his disciples and he says, listen, they're like marveling at the beauty of it. And we're not Jews, most of us, right? We didn't come from that Hebrew culture where they understood what it meant to have lost that temple, to have the whole place leveled to the ground, and to have the efforts of all those years of rebuilding, right? So that was something that was just told for year after year and decade upon decade of the work that went into the rebuilding of this temple. And let's not forget the glory of God, which came and rested upon that area. So for us, we have to pull ourselves into the way that we view the house of God today, which is the church. And yes, it's like, hey, I'm coming for blessing. But I also think there's this place of idolatry where it's like, wow, you have to come here. And Pastor Zach mm-hmm. dealt with that about the sacredness of the quote unquote altar right. or the sacredness of the building. He's like, 5 minutes ago, it was a Macy's and they're selling jewelry right here. And I'm like, way to go, Pastor
yeah.
Zach.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience has been like, but in some of the churches that I've been a part of, there was this reverence for the front of the sanctuary near the stage. Mm-hmm. And there's even over, you know, in the past 25, 30 years, there's this wrestling through of, oh, we shouldn't call it a stage because right. it's not a performance. We right. should call it the altar. And if you're here at HPC, I'm not really, you know, trying to mince words. We call it an altar. Mm-hmm. But really, the altar is our heart.
Right.
The place at the front is right. an opportunity for us to posture ourselves in humility before the Lord. But we can do the very same thing. And our home, in our quiet place, in our secret space, we can do the very same thing elsewhere. But there is this beauty of like, hey, yes, the Lord meets with us when we gather on a Sunday and when we gather on a Tuesday, but he is ever present. He's right. always ready. And right. there is power when we gather together. We know that. Mm-hmm. Wherever two or three are there, he is gathered in our midst. But I did love the idea of like, okay, we don't have to exalt and idolize this right. as the thing. Either A, like mm-hmm. you said, looking for it for our next blessing.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get to church on Sunday because right. the Lord's got something for me.
It will come through there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Because it's true. The Lord does meet us here and and we have the gift of being met with together in the context of, you know, a family. But, you know, God can meet us anywhere. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that, I think it positions you in such a way that you understand, oh, he is the one who brings me who blesses me, who does everything for me. And the true blessing is that I can even just communicate with him, that yeah. I can commune with him.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't become this like formulaic, like I go here so that this happens here or then someone prophesies over
yes,
me.
Yes, there
like,
you go.
It's like, oh, you're adding in all these unnecessary steps.
Yep, yep.
Right?
It's so true.
You can get this unprocessed right from God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you give space for that, when you give space for just meeting with him alone, then it also positions your heart to receive whatever it is that he has from you. And you know, I got what God had for me today.
Yeah. And it's not just like you've been challenging us, Luke. It is not just the getting and the receiving. Yeah. It is actually the giving. When we really understand mm-hmm. that coming to our gathering, our assembly, our church yeah. on Sunday, when we really understand that it is part of this, I'm giving out, I'm pouring out of myself for the sake of the body.
Amen.
All the gifts that God gave mm-hmm. me, they are for the benefit of all in this body. Yes, those who are in the world, but everybody here.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So at the end of the service, and I'm sure you got something to say on that, but do you want to go first?
Well, mine's at the beginning of the service.
Okay, so you go first.
We'll start.
Okay,
okay. So when we were singing those songs, you know, like the rain of heaven.
Yeah.
I had this picture in my head, and it was the rain, but the rain was people. It was us being
Whoa.
Poured down. And, you know, when we're praying for the rain of heaven to come down or for God to move or like the wind of revival.
Yeah.
What I think we often forget is, well, you are the rain.
Mm.
You are the revival. You are the wind through which the Spirit moves, mm. right?
Yeah.
So oftentimes when you're praying for that, God is then saying, okay, well, now you have to go.
Yeah.
It's something for you to
it's
do.
Good. It's good. It's good.
You think you just stand here and pray for rain.
It's good.
You this are good. The rain.
This is good. You are the sun. You are the rain. I love that song, man. Oh. Little Lionel Richie there for you. David, maybe you can plug that in there. Luke, that's so good because at the end of the service, you know, Pastor Zach had given a couple of altar calls. It was great, again, second week in a row to see people make that decision to come and
that's
follow
awesome.
Jesus. That's so awesome. I love that. And secondly, for some of the things that, you know, the Lord was really sparking in people at that second altar call, there was a couple people who had gone up, and I knew immediately, being on the prayer and pastoral team, I knew immediately that Jennifer and I were supposed to go and pray over a couple individuals. And I felt like the Lord had kind of highlighted them. And when we went to pray, typically what happens with me, and again, I've grown to see and watch the Lord do this, but typically when I lay hands on somebody, I will start to get pictures or visions or words. And there's no formula to this, but it's how the Lord leads us all individually. I've just begun to understand how he does it through me. So as the Lord was giving the word over this one person, I shared it. And I'm just, you know, sometimes I'm always watching for Jennifer's response because I want to know, what is she getting? And it was so funny because at the end, after we prayed for both of them, she literally confirmed exactly to a T what I heard. And we hadn't said anything to each other. And then we walked back to our seats and she's like, man, sometimes I get something different, Kurt, but I literally got the exact same pictures and words as you. Now, why is that important? Because number one, every time that I get confirmation, it reminds me that I'm hearing correctly. So it was really good to get that validation, like, okay, Lord, I was hearing from your spirit. You confirmed it through this partner right here on my side who's praying the same. Number two, the scripture teaches us that on the word of two or three witnesses, a truth is established. So when you have a testimony on two or three, a truth is established. So for those receivers on Sunday, they got to know this is a word that is doubly confirmed from the Lord, which was really good. So like you said, we're looking for that open heaven for the rain. But then where the rain, we have to go.
You have to go.
We have to go.
Yes.
And we have to practice, you know?
So good.
It's really good.
All right, moving on.
Gilgal.
Gilgal. So this was, you could think of it as the first stand of breakthrough, or we have these Gilgal places in our life where, okay, the Lord really broke through to me.
Mm-hmm. What was the picture? Just, I don't know why, for me, which is you're my teacher that I bounce everything off of. So what was the instant image the moment that we were reading the Gilgal passage? For you, what was coming to your mind? Like, I know where my mind went, and I'm wondering.
In the Bible?
Is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Joshua.
Yeah, coming right 100%. Out of the water, right? And putting the stones? Is that where you were?
I was thinking, isn't that like when the angel of the Lord, like the angel of the Lord also meets him at Gilgal?
Okay, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's either before or after that.
So for me.
But that's what I was thinking of.
That's where you were?
Yeah, because it flows in the same, like that
the same vein.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why. I saw the children of Israel coming up out of the Jordan with their stones, and the scripture says that Joshua placed them as a memorial at Gilgal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know why my mind went there, because we have these memorialized areas in our life.
Yes. Yes, we do. And you know, it's a place where the Lord meets with you, a place where you know he did this.
Yeah.
And we are told to memorialize those things.
Yeah, yep.
And I think it's important that we rest on that, because it's not for us to minimize these Gilgal places. And it's not for us to forget them, because God told the children of Israel several times, you know, like, you're going to build this memorial, and then your children will ask, well, what do these stones mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, second to that, my mind went to the proverb which says, do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers have set in place.
Amen.
And we can balance that with the sacred cows, I think, that Pastor Zach was talking about either this past week or the week before. Was it this past week?
No, it was this week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the sacred cows, that we have these things, these traditions that we have just taken with us. And I think there is this wrestling through of, like, is this a memorial that needs to stay here, that we bring our children back to? Or is this a sacred cow? That's a really good litmus test. I find myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the danger is when you start to look back and then you start to fall into the lie, either consciously or subconsciously of, wow, God really moved back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you've completely missed the point of the sacred stones and the memorials, which is, God wanted you to say, yeah, God really moved back then, and he's moving now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And for me, what I'm personalizing this as is the different landmarks in my own journey over the years. And I don't know what this new season is, but it's like the enemy really wants to challenge us to say, yeah, the Lord did it then. But the question I've been hearing is, will he do it again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, he's still moving. And that word that was just coming forth right from the pulpit on Sunday from Pastor Zach, God is still speaking.
Yep.
He is still speaking. Yes, he did it before. But the whole reason that we glance back and take our children back to those ancient stones and landmarks is to remind ourselves in the building of faith, if he did it before, he'll do it again.
Right.
Why? Because he is the same yesterday, right, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He changes not. Mm-hmm. Why would he do it then and not do it
now? Exactly. Exactly. And he's always having us move, mm-hmm, somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's always a forward motion in your walk with the Lord. And sometimes that is physical too. You know, you can think back to the early church. Like, they stayed in Jerusalem for a while. And then it was when persecution happened, yep, that they were moved out.
Yeah.
But they had to be moved out.
Yes.
In order to fulfill the Great Commission. Yep. So there is this sense, there's something in us that wants to stay in the Gilgal place or even try to go back to it.
Yeah.
But the heart of the Lord is always this forward motion.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I have found myself over the past few years, like, there is this sense, like, you know, when the Egyptians came out and in the early days they were like, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We should have stayed in Egypt with bondage and the leeks and onions.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
I find that so human inside of, mm-hmm, each and every one of us, that human condition that says, like, man, I don't know, like, It was it better back then? Like, right, even in the midst of the bondage?
Right.
And I love that Pastor Zach was reminding us, no, it wasn't better. Nostalgia has painted,
correct,
this lie, yes, over, yes, your mind. Like, it was, yes, better than it was. Yeah. No.
The only thing is, is, as a slave, your day was extremely predictable.
Yes. And maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's the fear of the unknown.
The unknown.
That would like to keep us in, right, the bondage. And again, this was a really powerful point that Pastor Zach was bringing forward, mm-hmm, on Sunday in terms of the Gilgal. God will never call you back into bondage,
right,
in order for you to receive a breakthrough.
Right.
That he's not going to bring, right, you back. I mean, you got to think,
yeah,
on that.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord, if you just take it back to the picture we were just talking about, the children of Israel in Egypt, the Lord had already prophesied to Abraham, it'll be 430 years and then they'll come out. But you're going to come back to the land that I swore to give you.
Right.
And you're going there. There's, like you said, right, there's always this forward motion, mm-hmm, with the Lord. We're ever marching towards him, and his kingdom is advancing.
Yes, yes. But even in the early church, mm-hmm, you know, Paul has to address this tendency to put ourselves back in bondage.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's like, yep, for freedom, Christ set you free.
Yes, yes.
But there's something in us that feels safe, mm-hmm, with some sort of system.
Yes.
Some sort of, you know, bondage that we can control and we can feel safe.
Yep.
And it's like, but what you end up doing is you're stifling the spirit and you're missing the entire point, yeah, of grace and freedom.
Yes, it's true. We're actually clouding and adulterating the word that made us free. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I was thinking about this move. It's funny, Pastor Zach and I are of the same age and generation, and he's talking about that timeline that we both experienced, or many of us watched, a whole move of people that we grew up with went to a reform type of theology or a greater, right, level of liturgy, because it's predictable. There's a, mm-hmm, control in it. There is a sense of, like, wow, if I know that I just do this every time I sin, I just make this penance, or I just do this, I know that I'm okay. And I think, you know, what is the blessed assurance for us? Jesus is mine, you know? Mm. Oh, I've tasted, right, this glory divine.
Right.
Like, the blessed assurance we have is not something that we can prove, mm-hmm, like with our physical circumcision or whatever it, yep, may be. It is this circumcision of the heart that we know we belong to Jesus.
Right, right.
And he speaks to us regularly, and we just have to listen.
Amen. And, you know, this isn't to come down on spiritual disciplines, right?
No, well, those have been great.
Those are great. Spiritual disciplines are great. But again, there's this sense of you have to walk out with the Lord, mm-hmm, and you can draw from the lives of other people, you know, things that work for them. I think it's when we start to become prescriptive on, you're not walking with the Lord because you're not walking with the same disciplines that I have.
There you
and
go.
You're not doing it the way I do it.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And, you know, you talked about the New Testament, and Paul writes so many times about this. Specifically, mm-hmm, one short book you could read to really encapsulate it all is Galatians.
Right.
He talks about being brought back under the yoke and the heavy weight of bondage. Like, don't let it happen. Don't be bewitched. I mean, using terms like that, don't be bewitched by these things that seem like, oh, wow, we, yep, should go back to where it was more law-based. We should go back, right, to where it was more predictable. No, mm-hmm, like you said, Luke, very, very aptly, like, it is for freedom's sake, yeah, that Christ set us free. And we are no longer, just think about I was talking with the young people at King's yesterday in our SOS survey class, and just walking through some of the practice that had to take place in the temple and tabernacle. We just need to be so grateful that we're not all high priests, yet we're a kingdom of priests. Right. We get to come boldly to the throne of grace. Like, what was required for the high priest back then, God has made available to all of us who would believe, you know?
Amen.
And so why would we turn back again to think that that is somehow the secret sauce when the Lord, according to Hebrews 8:13, has done away with that old covenant because a new one with a greater mediator exists?
Amen.
Why you can't be preaching, bro?
You need to emphasize that, because it's so easy for us to minimize what we have.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's like, and again, it's like we want to create this system where it's, he's the special one. That's the special man of God.
Mm.
And it's not that some of us don't have special callings. There are people who do. But don't exalt spiritual leaders, spiritual places to the point that you forget that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you.
Yeah, it's good.
Because Satan wants you to have that poverty mindset. He wants you to forget what it is that you actually have.
Yes.
Because if you started to realize what you have, then you would go. Mm. You would start to do the things.
Whoa. That's really good. That's really good. Well, we have to keep moving. I could teach
all right,
on it
Beersheba.
All day long. Beersheba, baby. Yep. Don't sit the lesson long and short.
Beer is in the Bible. No.
Okay, lesson number one. Beersheba
kidding.
That's great. Totally unexpected from you, Luke. Great. I love it. Okay, hope everyone paid attention. Lessons from Luke this morning, okay?
You just bring out another side of me.
I love it, dude. So other than the fact that beer is in the Bible, according to our brother Luke over here, Beersheba, simple lesson, don't straddle the fence.
Yes.
Because you're not actually straddling it, okay? And I love the imagery that we were presented with on Sunday of like, hey, this is actually pretty painful. You straddle a fence long enough, you might be able to do it for a few minutes, but you straddle a fence long enough, you're going to get hurt. It is a pretty painful place to try to park yourself. And so just kind of walking systematically through Bethel, which is that house of God, idolizing. Thank you, Lord. Idolizing.
Yes, idolizing.
You weren't helping me there. I needed
the
Holy
Spirit. Sorry, I was looking at my notes.
It's okay. Idolizing
great.
Bethel, or looking back with nostalgia and longing eyes towards the past to here, trying to straddle a fence as if we were even able to, you know. And it's just not good. No dice, no bueno. I love this contrast here. Not the contrast, but I love the picture that's created for us of Beersheba being that southernmost part. So the presentation here would be that it is a fence, and we see Elijah running to that place of Beersheba, you know, after this fear, this word that comes from Jezebel, and how we can get to that place where it's like, okay, I'm a little uncertain here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to live with one leg in, one leg out, so that I can run if I need to.
Yep. Yep. And I think also it's, you know, not expecting that the enemy is going to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, as you walk out your calling, you know, just as Elijah walked out his calling, you're going to see these greater things than what I have done that Jesus promised.
Yeah.
Right. And when that happens, and there's a high, and there's a wow, like you are seeing the kingdom come. That feels great, and it's great to be in that place. But then there's always the Jezebel. There's always the enemy pushing back.
Yeah.
And learning not to run in that place, and understanding that part of God moving is also seeing the enemy push back.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself and just be like, yep, this is all part of the process, but we don't have to run.
Yes.
We don't have to run. But then if you do run, like Elijah, know that the Lord will meet you there, and he will call you back. And he will, because there's places that he understands our weakness.
Yeah.
But I think the lesson here is for us to understand, okay, I don't have to run.
Yeah.
This is all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, like, we know the end of Jezebel.
Yeah.
She was thrown down and the dogs ate her up. So that is, when the enemy moves, understand that that is the enemy's end. It's not like this equal force.
Yeah. It is interesting taking a look at Elijah and allowing him to be our case study in this analysis to see that when does that happen? It happens after slaying the 400 prophets of Baal. Yeah. It happens after a great victory. Mm-hmm. And we have to catch this here, especially in great spiritual victories that we experience in our life. We need to be that much more on guard, mm-hmm. because that fear will try to creep in. That word, that lie, yeah. from Jezebel, all of a sudden becomes so powerful. And here you have Elijah actually doing the same thing. Like he must have been computing, okay, I know the Lord just had me slay these prophets, but oh my goodness, will he do it again? Like, right. what's going on here?
Right.
Because one right. woman speaks a word and he runs.
Right.
So I do love this, how it calls us back to like, okay, like God, I have to understand that even if the enemy is in hot pursuit of me, if I'm just doing what the passage actually says here, long before we get to Bethel, Gilgal, and Beersheba, the Lord himself says, seek me.
Seek me.
And live. Seek me and live. And so the whole point of this communication on Sunday is that it is not looking to the house of God where we gather. It is not looking to the past where the Lord once did these things. It is not trying to straddle the fence when times get hard. It is literally, no matter what state you find yourself in, seek the Lord. Amen. And live. Seek him while he may be found.
Mm. You know, it's so true. And that is where I think we need to just pause for a moment. Mm. Because, you know, people are listening, and as you've been hearing this, I'm sure the Lord's been stirring stuff up in your heart. You're seeing things in your life. You're probably having memories come to you of when the Lord did move. And I think right now would be a good time for you to just pause and allow the Lord to put all that stuff in perspective, because it's not that he wants you to not appreciate his house, the Bethel places. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. not that he doesn't want you to he doesn't want you to forget the Gilgals where he met you, and where you saw the victory. And it's not even that he wants to shame you for the times that you ran to the fence.
Yeah, no.
But it's all of this is to call you back to seeking him first.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just, you know, just pause in that. I just really feel that heavy right now. You know, this is what we are to do.
Mm.
And this is where the Lord meets us, and when he course corrects you, and it's just to shave off these unhealthy attitudes and these unhealthy mindsets, to position you for what it is that he has for you today and for tomorrow and going on.
Mm. That's really good, Luke. I'm really glad you brought us there. Mm. I'm already getting some things myself.
Yeah, me too.
which is really powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to pray. I'm sure we're going to pray in a minute.
Oh, we are.
But yes. I wanted to, before we pray, just kind of just bring up with the Gilgal how we can look at a time of victory, a time where the Lord brought us through and we had breakthrough, and we can exalt that, and we can hold it in weight,
yeah,
and in ransom to our current situation, and saying, well, will it pan out this time?
Right.
Will the Lord come through this time?
Right.
And I love what you said, that the whole reason that those Gilgals exist is a reminder to build our faith and call us back to, like, he was faithful before, he'll be faithful again. Mm-hmm. So,
amen. Well, any final thoughts?
Can I pray?
Yes, you can. Yeah,
okay. No, yeah. I don't have any final thoughts.
No, I'm feeling that too.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
All right. Father, we come before you today, and whenever this is heard by any individual, I love where you just brought us through your son, Luke, that we should come and pause and think about those places of Gilgal. And especially for me, I think about holding them up and even asking that question, God, I know you were faithful then, but will you do it again? Will you be faithful this time? It seems a little bit more challenging, seems a little bit more different. And Lord, I love the truth of your word. You have told us that if we seek you, we will live. And if we seek you with all of our heart, we will find you. You know, you said that Bethel will come to nothing and Gilgal will be brought into captivity. All these things will fade. So there's no sense in trying to straddle the fence at the end of the road in that dark place. All we need to do is turn around, come off the fence, seek you. And so, Father, I personally want to repent for holding up those places of Gilgal, those memorials, and not counting them for what they are, not using them for what they are. They are faith builders. I repent, Lord, for exalting them over what you're doing right now. And I pray for every one of the hearers. I pray for every heart that we would just be open to receive from you whatever it is you want to reveal to us about our trust and our hope in Bethel, whatever it is that you want to reveal to us about leaning on and looking back at Gilgal, whatever it is that you want to reveal about how we might be straddling the fence, Lord, we ask you to make it plain and make it clear in these moments. And as we just repent, as we just turn, that's all we need to do, is just turn and seek your face and live. So we trust you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us, Kurt.
Dude, thank you. I was going to tell you, you should just put me on the books regularly now. I feel like if it's okay with you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would love to come back pretty regularly.
We would love to have you back.
Yeah, all right, great.
Anytime.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right, guys. Go out there, live a good life, and we'll see you Sunday.